You are such a gracious God. Thank you, Father, for your love, that you make room for us to make mistakes, and you still pick us up, and you still love us every time. Lord, thank you that you are here with us. You are always here with us. We take you everywhere we go if we have you within. We do not have to be victims to fear. We do not have to cry out in fear because we are bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. You died. You saved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, be with us today. Be our words, be our actions, be our thoughts. Lord, let us be your hands and feet. Show us what that means every day, not just at church. As soon as we step out of this building, Lord, teach us what it means to be disciples of Christ. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' mighty, mighty and precious name, amen.
Yeah, we're on. Yeah, just barely. I'm not going to sing it, though. Not now. Welcome. Well, this is a good place to be this morning. If you're here for the first time, or this is the 101st time, welcome. Glad you're here. Where's Ron? Ron came in. Oh, maybe he left already. Huh? Well, there he is. There's Ron. Ron's back. It's like, I haven't seen him for a while. I was like, yeah, Ron's back. So anyways, yeah, we're glad you're here. We were praying that the Father's anointing would be on us this morning. Our good friend George Harrison is here. He's going to bring a message this morning, and I just can't wait. The guy's awesome. He's blessed, and I just love the way that he brings glory to God the Father, and he is going to give her testimony here for us this morning, and that's good. Another thing we were praying is that God would change lives here in this room this morning even, and he's going to testify to how her life was changed. And like, can't we all put up our hand and say, thank you, God, for changing our lives. Like, yeah, God is good. It's a good place to be. If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, I know a guy who can get you one this morning, and the price is right. It's free. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, I'll get you one, like Chicken Louie. So make sure you stop me or whatever. I'll leave a couple up here, and you just come and get it if you want. So anyways, yeah, there's Bibles. October, wish I had the flyer with me. Hey, Matthias, do you get that poster about the Father's heart coming up in October? If you could throw that on the screen. There you go. What is that? October 28 and 30. So the last weekend in October is a couple coming to give us some good teaching on God the Father and his love for us. So plan for that. Set that weekend aside. It's the last weekend in October, and come join us. That'll be good. And like, if you know others, bring others. I mean, it's open, right? That's it. I think Annie. What? Alvin, did you have something? Hold on. Hey?
Just wanted to invite all the men that maybe you've never been to a prayer retreat. You don't know what it's like. Why don't you come with us? And then you can have a better assertion of what it means to be to a prayer retreat. So next Friday, we're going to be leaving here. We're going to be meeting at the church here about 5 o'clock. And we're going to head out to Salem Acres. We're going to be out there Friday night, Saturday. Come back Sunday. Okay? For all the men. So, again, if you've never been to a prayer retreat, come. Check it out. You'll be blessed. Amen? So let me know today, if you can. But otherwise, show up here next Friday at 5 o'clock. Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Can I pray for you? All right. God, I thank you for the way you change lives. And I thank you, God, for the way you have blessed Annie and you have walked with her. And you have never left her. You have never forsaken her. You are the faithful one, and you have always been faithful. You have always loved and blessed Annie, God. And I thank you for the way you have always treated her and cared for her. God, I thank you that she's here now, and I pray, God, that your peace, God, would come over Annie. In the name of Jesus, God, let your peace just cover her, that she would speak and that you, God, would move in this room and bless people with what she says. To your glory, God, to your honor, in Jesus we pray.
Okay, I'm going to do something a little different. Could the following people please stand? Jody, Dana, Linda, Gertie, Stan. I promise I'll only keep you standing a minute. 5 years ago, I was brought to Red Deer because of an abusive situation. And I met this lady, Linda, who told me that I needed God in my life. Didn't believe her, didn't want to believe her. But she brought me to Potter's Hands Church. The people that I just named have been there from the beginning when I was struggling with the drugs and the alcohol. They have taught me God, about God. They have taught me how to love myself, that I am worth loving because I am a child of God. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you and God bless you. I came to Red Deer 5 years ago broken. Didn't believe in God. Didn't want him in my life. I wanted the crack, the coke, whatever drug I can get my hands on. To me, that was my life. When I went to Potter's for the first time, it was like the weight of the world was lifted from my shoulders. And you haven't turned your backs on me when I felt. He stood by me. One lady that's missing today brought me to Bible study, and she gave me this from Jerry and Gladys Hunt. And to me, it was my lifeline. I got so into God that I posted, poor Stan, I posted Bible verses all over my apartment wall, and I pinned them. Wasn't such a bright idea, but it was something that I needed to do. My favorite psalm is Psalm 40. If you give me a second. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. And he did. I am drug-free 5 years. I celebrated it with my family in Newfoundland. And it's all possible because of God. if you don't know him, get to know him. He is the most amazing person in my life. I'm grateful for what he's done. My children are grateful. This past summer, I got a chance to reconcile with them. It was like a blessing. It was like I had them all over again. Only difference is there was no dirty diapers. The power of prayer. If you had to tell me years ago that I'd be standing here talking about God, I'd tell you, you're all nuts. And believe me, I told Stan that once. My grandson was born a couple months ago, and he wasn't doing too good. The doctor sent him home to die. I asked many people in this church to pray for him. I cried out to him. I tried bargaining with him. Keep my grandson and take me. But we know you don't bargain with God. God has a plan. My grandson is now a healthy little boy. His kidneys are shrinking. His heart is the normal size for a child his age. When he pees, he's doing it all instead of it going back into his kidneys and his bladder. And that's all through Jesus. Because without him, no way, no way. You know what I love about God the most? The fact that he forgives. The fact that he holds you on dearly. And that he calls you his own. Without him, we would be nothing. With him, we are everything. He is so amazing. I stumble, and he's there to pick me up. I get the cravings, and instead of reaching for that drug, instead of reaching for that alcohol, I now reach for my Bible and my friends, and I go to them and tell them that I can't do it. I suffer from bipolar. I'm in a low stage of that right now. Up until I talked to Robin last night, I was calling and saying, find somebody else, because I wasn't doing it. But God didn't raise a quitter. He raised someone to fight. And that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, is fight every day. I have to. We all have to. Anybody suffering with addictions, you know what? God's got it. He's yours. Just call out to him. And I guarantee you, he'll help you. Thank you.
God, thank you for Annie. Thank you, God, for the joy and the hope and the peace that she has now because of Christ, because of your kindness to her, because you have always loved her. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Oh, that was good. George, if you're wired up, right, George? You don't need a mic?
Okay. I'm wired. Okay.
So if you haven't met George Harrison yet, this is George Harrison. He's
I'm the one that's still alive.
Alive in Christ, right? Yeah. On. Can I pray for you? God, thank you for George. Thank you, God, that he is here. And that he is your willing servant to proclaim the good news that is Jesus Christ and the hope that we have and the way God has loved us and has brought us into his kingdom. God, thank you for your servant George, and I pray, God, your anointing on us and George. As your word is proclaimed here this morning, God, be glorified with everything that is done here to your glory, God. It's to you and to the glory and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Don, and thank you, elders, for the privilege of coming and sharing. This is going to be a difficult message to do. This is a teaching session, Bible college status, meaning if you want to get anything out of it, you're going to have to pay attention. So if you've come and you just want to sit in the back row and coast, you may have a difficult time. Actually, you will. So in Colossians 1, Don, what's 127, Colossians? Come on, you know it in here. I know you know it. If you don't, your co-partner will. It's a mystery. Somebody's in you.
127.
Yes.
To whom God wills in you, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah.
How many like solving a mystery? How many like reading mysteries? I don't. So I usually don't get it to the last page. But there's a mystery in the Bible. And most everyone in this room, including myself, we don't really understand it. And it's the King of Kings. He doesn't live up there. He does. He's omnipresent. But he also lives somewhere else. Go like this. He lives in me. He lives in me. I'm a child of the King. You believe that? Okay. On October 14th, I'm doing a conference out at Haines on the mystery of the presence of God in us. 6 hours to 7 hours of teaching. If you're interested in understanding this mystery, I would encourage you to come. Haines Church is just a short drive past the Joffrey, east of the Joffrey gas station. I was praying, I was asked to teach on this topic. Okay, this is not my favorite topic. But I was asked to, and so in doing so, I thought the best way to approach this is through an object lesson. Okay? So we're going to start in the book of Genesis. We're going to go all the way back to chapter 1. So in chapter 1, ignore all of these. God, represented by this white cloth, living throughout time, like beyond time. He's past, he's present, he's future, he's alive. And he decides he wants to create something. He has the ability or the authority to speak and things happen. Authority of God represented by this purple cloth. Okay? So as you know, in chapter 1, he starts with the creation of the heavens and the earth and then the trees and the insects and on and on. But in verse 27, go there in your Bible. And it says in verse 27 that God created man. So how did he do that? How does God exercise authority? Just shout it out. He speaks. It's no different for you and I today. When we exercise authority, we speak it. So God creates man. And in addition to that, if you jump over to the next verse, verse 27. Verse 28. No, 27. He gives to man some special instructions. He says, I want you, see that word rule? Okay. I want you to increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every, I want you to catch this one, every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay. So God takes some of his authority. He delegates it to mankind, man represented by this brown cloth. We are made of what? Dirt, clay, dirt, dust. Okay, when Satan was cursed, he was cursed to the ground to be like a snake, a creature, and he moves along the ground, and what does he eat? No, let me tell you, I work in South Sudan. There's snakes there, and snakes don't eat dust. So we're talking about a parable here. There's a hidden meaning. Snakes do not eat dust. They eat insects, mice, rats, etc. So as the serpent, as the devil, he has the authority to go around the earth and on the ground, but we have, as man, authority over him. And what is Satan wanting to do? To eat who? Whose dust? See, this is a parable hidden, a hidden meaning in the scriptures. That's not even my message. I'm just teaching you, throwing you something out for free. So he gives us authority, or he gives Adam and Eve the authority to rule over the garden. Okay? Everything is good. Now, at some point prior to the creating of the earth, God in heaven creates angels. We're not told when the angels were created. Because they live outside of time, we don't know how many years they were working and operating in the heavenly realm, but they were created. Okay? At some point in that, something happens, and there's one angel in particular who is extremely, extremely gifted. The Bible says he's beautiful, and he has giftings. And he decides, according to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Lucifer makes a decision, and here's what Isaiah records. I, Lucifer, am going to make my throne above the Most High. So one of the angels created by God decides that he's going to exalt himself above the heavens and above, as it says in Isaiah, the Most High. Most High is just another name for our God. So he wants to be like God or above God. Now, how is he going to do that? He needs something from God to do it. What does he need? He needs authority. Now, how is he going to get it? He's a created being. This is the clay saying to the potter, I'm going to be more than you. How is he going to get this? He has to steal it or lead a revolt. And he eventually convinces one-third of the angels to go with him. And one-third of the angels, I don't know how he had that ability. The Bible just says one-third left God's authority and followed after him. But the revolt fails. He's not successful in stealing God's authority to become higher than God or like the Most High. And so he's cast out of the heavenly realm. Now, man is on earth. Man is working in the garden. Adam and Eve are having lots of fun. Wonderful, wonderful things are happening in the garden. Until one day, this guy comes along as the serpent has recorded. You know the verses. And he comes to Eve and he says, did God really say that? She's explaining, can we eat from this tree and that tree? And he says, yeah, we can eat from all the trees, but not that one. Or we will die. But he says, has God really said that? And when we're going through our daily life and we're trying to stand firm on the word of God, we're standing. And this guy, even today, he comes here and he says, you really believe that stuff? In other words, has God really said? It hasn't changed, guys. It hasn't changed, only Adam and Eve are us today. We'll get to that in a moment. So he comes to Adam and Eve, and he says, and he tricks them into believing that, well, maybe God didn't say that. Maybe we will become, like, really wise. And so Eve eventually falls to his suggestions, and then Adam, and then something terrible happens. Listen to this. One of the most microseconds of time, one of the most horrific things for mankind happened like that. Satan gets this because these guys believed the lie. And he now becomes the prince of this world. Psalm 115 says the heavens were made for God, but the earth was made for who? Yeah, us. We don't have it now. Why? Because the authority we had to rule is now stolen from us. Got it? Okay, now. The earth remains dark for 4,000 years. 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ. Then Isaiah describes it best of all. I'll get the verse for you so you can write it down. I'm not following my notes, as you can tell. Yeah, I can't even find it now. Who cares? Anyway, Isaiah says this. If we can really understand what's going on, and Isaiah says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Even more than that, the people living in deep, deep darkness. That means those people who are in total bondage to this guy, total slaves of sin, they have seen a great light. On the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea, a small light appeared. The light, it becomes us later. So God sends his son, Jesus. Now let's follow through in the life of Jesus now. Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit altogether, but he becomes man, right? And as man, he's still connected to the Father. He does only what the Father tells him to do. And he spends the next 3 years of his life changing a very small circle of the world. Disciples, drained, teaching, miracles, healing, blind, crippled, dead, are all raised to life. And Jesus gets very, very popular. And this guy gets very, very upset. So eventually, he is so upset at the success of Jesus, not going into all his temptations and all that, he convinces the rulers of the world, the rulers of the church, the church system of that hour, to actually crucify him. He dies on the cross. This guy's very, very happy. The perfect crime. You've heard it. You've heard it. It's the perfect crime. You'll never get caught. You'll succeed with this. No one will ever know. We hear all those lies. So Satan deceives all the leaders of the church, the religious system, and some of the government authorities. They crucify him. He's put into a borrowed tomb, and he's dead. The disciples, you talk about fear? Our leaders are gone. The disciples ran in fear. They left him on the cross. What are we going to do now? They go in and they're in hiding. There's great persecution in the church develops shortly after that. On somewhere between the 12th hour of his crucifixion and the 72nd hour, something so unbelievable happens. God, through the Holy Spirit, comes into the tomb. And we have a body laying there, has spirit, soul, and body. And he resurrects Jesus Christ. Christ is now resurrected. And this guy is saying, uh-oh. Boo-boo. Big boo-boo. Wrong guy. Because he said, remember when he's up on the temple roof or the in the wilderness and he shows them the temples and he shows them all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you really are, how many of you get that? Who do you think you are? You can't do that. Who do you think you are? Jesus got the same thing in the wilderness. If you really are, climb up to the top, throw yourself down, and call the angels to rescue you. See, he doesn't even know that he really is until the crucifixion. So while Jesus was up there on the temple and he's going through those three different groups of sin, He goes through exactly what Adam and Eve went through, what you and I go through. The three groups of sin: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Eve went through it in the garden. Jesus goes through it in the wilderness. And you and I go through it today. Same thing. He's not creative. This guy's not creative. He has no ability to create. Only God can create. So, Jesus is resurrected according to the scriptures. And then what happens next? I got to find these verses for you. You're not going to believe what I'm saying. I know you know the scriptures. I will find it. So, oh, that Isaiah verse for you is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep, deep darkness, a light has dawned. Great God Almighty, the Creator, has sent His Son in the form of man, making Himself of no reputation. The King of Kings comes to make a few changes. What are some of the changes in the Bible that Jesus come to make? There's many reasons in Scripture why Jesus came. Many of them. Salvation for us, yes. But one of them is... God is good. Okay, to destroy the works of the devil? Okay. Is that one of the job descriptions of Jesus? Right? It's scriptural, right? I'm not pulling this up. Okay. So we got devil over here. And what are some of the works of the devil that the devil did? What did he do with Adam? He stole something. So what does he do? Jesus descends. The Bible says before he ascended to the Father, he descended. Where did he go? Don? Doug? Come on, you guys. Get with me. He went to hell. What did he do in hell? Jesus is now in hell. Okay? He goes into hell. What's he after? Keys. What are the keys? If I have the keys to this building, what do I have? Authority. So he comes to hell. And he walks over to Satan and he says, "They're mine." He doesn't have to argue. This guy's defeated. The Bible says he disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them. This is what happens. So he goes into hell, and he's getting something. What is it? This. And he brings it back. Okay, now, he goes and visits his disciples. Now his disciples at this point are a little bit shaken up. And some of them have actually said, according to Scripture, "I'm going back fishing. This ain't working." And in our nature, we always want to revert back to that which we were doing before this crisis. It's in our nature to go backwards, not forward in faith. So the disciples are back fishing, and Jesus walks along the beach and says, "Got any fish? I want to have a barbecue." And sure, yeah, we got a few we can sell you. And so he starts a fire and he's cooking, and they find out, they realize he's the Christ. Okay? And then the book of Acts starts. And here's where we want to go with this. So Jesus comes along, and before his death, he says this: "It's better for you that I leave." Now let me ask you, I'm a disciple. We are all disciples back there in that little tiny town. And we're walking with Jesus, we're seeing miracles daily, and now he dies and our whole hopes are dying. We thought he was going to lead a revolution against the Romans, but he's not, and he's dead. He's in a grave. And we forget this. We're deluded. And they go back fishing. But then Jesus says, "Look, I'm going away." But they don't believe that he's going away. But he says it's better for us that he goes away. Let me tell you, would you not have been like to have been a fly on the wall in those days? Yeah. Okay? But it's better that he goes away. And leaves us with what? Come on, you're getting it. Yeah. He said, "Better I go away." Better. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will come. And what will He do? He will not only, remember the dove came and sat on Jesus? He will not just be on Him. You got it, sister. He will be in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The God, the creator of the universe, God Almighty, through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, are here. They're in everyone who believes. But we don't believe. So let me ask you some questions about Scripture. Do you believe greater is He that is in you than He is in the world?
Yes.
No, no, no. Listen to me. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay, so when the storm comes and you're attacked, what are you going to do? Okay, and He says to you, who do you think you are? What are you going to say? Go back to the song we sang. Yeah. I'm a child of God. And you are tempted with this every day. Every single day. Because Satan wants something. Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. So, Jesus restores authority to man in and through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But this guy is still not happy. So he wants to rule over the earth. The Bible says he's the prince. He's not the king of the earth. He's a prince. Who's the king? Okay. So he's still under a certain amount of control here. So now he comes to you and to me every single day. Now he wants something. What is it he wants from you? Okay. Now listen to this. He doesn't want all your authority because you'll never give it to him. So he comes piece by piece. Lie by lie. One little line upon line. Here's what happens. Let's say, okay. Let's take our sister's illustration. A wonderful testimony. Praise God. You, he who is set free is free indeed. Okay, so he comes to us and he says, oh, just go on. I don't know. You smoke crack or you inject crack? I don't know. What is it? Smoke it. Okay, thank you. Okay, so he's going, well, just go have another smoke. You're really down. How are you going to respond to him? Because what does he want? The thief has come to what?
Steal
is one. Kill and destroy. So what does he want at this point when he says, just go ahead and do that? He wants to steal something from you. What does he want to steal? He wants to kill you. He wants to steal your life. He wants to make you totally useless to the kingdom of God, and he wants you to be one of his co-workers. Yes, got it. Right on. So we're moving along in life. We're trying to do our own thing. And this guy comes along. God speaks a word to you. There's two types of word. And this is what I teach out here in the session that's coming up in Haines. Okay, there's two types of word. There's rhema word and logos word. Do you guys have any problem with this word? No? Okay, here's where the problem lies. Rhema word. When God speaks to you, has God really said? And then we begin to doubt. Well, maybe he really didn't say that. You're right. Who do I think I am to be an ambassador of the King of Kings? You're right. And we start falling for these lies, and you know what we do? We just give it back to him. You don't have authority. He stole it from you. And you become one of his slaves. We sang that song. I will no longer be a slave to fear. Who's the author of fear? God is love. This guy. So when you walk into fear, what did you just do? You gave him authority to cause fear in your life. Because we didn't stand on the word of God. Are you getting it? Do you really know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? How about this one? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. How about that one? Do you really believe it? Well, how do you walk on it when I've been praying for people who've been sick for years and, you know, maybe 90% of them recover eventually, but not the way I prayed? See, God's in control. Jesus is heading to the cross. He understands the pain that's endured. He became sin. He took on the sin of the world. That's a whole another teaching. It's not just physical. I mean, we're talking spiritual here. So Jesus says to the Father, Lord, take this cup. Just take it. And what did the Father do? And then Jesus says, he clarifies his prayer, but it's not my will. So you and I pray certain directions. I'm trying to put a disclaimer so you understand why not everyone you pray for are healed. We are all going to get out of this in a casket. We will all die. Some of you, my son's here, and I know if I was sick and dying, my son would be praying for me to live. But what if it was the Father's will? My time's up. Then Jason's going to come along and say, well, God, you didn't answer my prayer. No. Jesus submitted to the Father's will and said, not my will, but thine. I've been praying. I've been in Mozambique with Heidi Baker, and I have been taught by her how to pray for the dead. I have ministered with pastors side by side in Mozambique, raised from the dead, and I'm excited to see dead people raised up. Heidi's now up to, I don't know, 300-400. I have no idea. Individuals raised from the dead. So I'm going to pray for every dead body I see. Why not? I have this. He's not getting it. I'm not giving it to him. So I pray for the dead. Have I seen any dead raised? No. But does that stop me from praying and believing? No. Because I'm not giving into doubt. I'm not yielding to this. Oh, we're going way off track here, but the Lord wants me to teach you something else here. Okay. I want to talk about doubt. Because it's powerful. Okay. And this guy wants it from you. But even though you may be spirit-filled, a man of God, full of integrity, desiring to follow off God, you can still be prone to doubt. Okay, now listen to me. John the Baptist, born in the mother's womb. When he was still in his mother's womb, what happened? Something happened. The Holy Spirit did what? The Holy Spirit was, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't even born yet. Now, anybody here experienced that? I know when I got baptized, I was quite old. Okay? So, a man like no other man, right? Human being. He had a calling of God. God filled him with the Spirit in the mother's womb. He goes about doing his ministry. He has the eyes to see and ears to hear. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, he's coming. I've been preparing his way all these years, and here he is. He's baptized. And the Bible says, John the Baptist saw heavens open and the dove descending. Did the disciples ever see that dove sitting there? Because the Bible says the dove stayed. It never left. It stayed. Did any record of the disciples see it? No. Only John. Why? Full of the Holy Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit come for the disciples? Upper room, book of Acts, right? Okay. Some of you are really getting this. Okay, so John the Baptist doing all this stuff, preparing the way for Jesus, and then he finds out that Herod's sleeping with his brother's wife. He ends up in the slammer, and he's there, and it's dark, and it's dirty, and it stinks, and it's filthy. And what was, in Isaiah, what was the job description of Jesus in the scrolls, in the Old Testament? Come on. Yes, go ahead, keep going. Set the captives free, heal the sick, raise the dead, heal leprosy. And in addition to set the captives free, what's that other part? Prisoners set free. Okay. Now John knows the scripture, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit in here. I'm sure he knew the prophecies of Isaiah about job description for Christ. He's preparing the way for Christ. And now what does John ends up in the slammer? And it's not nice there. And he's getting a little bit discouraged because this guy wants something from John. What does he want? He still wants John's authority. He still wants John to be his slave and not God's servant. So John is beginning to doubt, and he sends two of his disciples to go to Jesus with a question. What's the question? Yeah. Wait a minute. Is this not the same John who saw, behold, the Lamb of God? Same guy? Yeah or no? Yeah. Is this not the same guy who's full of the Holy Spirit? And what's happening now is this guy is wanting John to doubt in the ends of his days. Now, Jesus replies to John. What's the answer? Without going into all the scripture verses and that. You know the story. So what's the answer? Jesus tells John's disciples to go back to John and tell him. Come on. Okay, stand up and shout it out. You got it. No, you, right there. You, my brother there. My Sudanese brother. Right? Okay, but wait a minute. That's only part of Isaiah's job description. And then he said something else. Go and tell him. Blessed is he who is not offended of me. Wait a minute. I'm in prison. His job description is to set prisoners free. God, is this really the Messiah or not? He should be coming and setting me free. But John hadn't come to, nevertheless, not my will or thine. You see, Jesus said, go back. The lame walk, the blind see, the lepers are healed, the whatever. And then he says, he changes the last one where the captives are set free and those in prison are set free. And he changes it to, blessed is he who's not offended by me. John, you're not getting out of prison. You're not coming out. And what does John do? He realizes what's going on. Jesus is not going to set him free. And in a short time later, his head's on a platter in a party in the palace. You see what I'm saying? We pray one way. We expect God to do it one way, but it's only His way that's going to prevail. Even if you're full of the Spirit, even these TV ministries, as wonderful as they are, they don't heal. God doesn't heal everyone through them. Even Jesus walking on earth did not heal everyone He walked by. Yes, those that came to Him in faith, sure. But remember, how many times did He go to the temple, to the synagogue, to pray and to read? Many, many times. After the book of Acts, the disciples are going to the temple and they see a guy at the door. How long have you been here? Many, many years. Oh, rise up and walk. Well, you think maybe the guy had been, the Bible says he'd been there many, many years. I forget the number. Now, do you think Jesus probably walked by him at the temple gate? Yeah. But still crippled? Yeah. Not everyone. See, it's the Father's will that we don't understand. So even today, here's what I'm going to close now with this. I'm trying to make this short so I don't. It's really a long, long message and I've just messed it right up. Okay, here's the bottom thing. Do you believe greater is He? Where is He? No, where is He? No, where is He? See, we don't have it by revelation. Because if you did, you'd be on the top of your seat hollering, He's in me. He's in me. We don't understand. We're the clay. But He's the potter. And He has created us. And we, the Creator, don't understand what's happening. Because this guy's been working on us for a long time. The Bible says from the time we've come out of our mother's womb, this guy's been after us. Stealing, killing, and destroying things in our life. So today, here's what's happening. He wants to come to you. And He does. Even right now in this room, He's giving you negative thoughts. He's giving you thoughts of, well, you really don't believe like a piece of cloth represents that. Come on now. You're a modern thinking. This is the 21st century. And He wants something from you. So you'll become His slave. So my sister, when you were on drugs, were you His slave? Yes. So in our minds, we have decisions every day. Every day. No, 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 no. 1,000 times a day, no. Lust of the flesh, that's desires of things around us. You go into the source, that's in the mall. Terrible, terrible slogan. Demonic slogan on the wall. You want it. Where do you think that came from? The pit of hell. That slogan is from the pit of hell. You want it. And so you come out the door and you see something. Well, I want it. See, that thought is now projected into my mind. Satan has no power over you, none, unless you give it to him. None. You have it, but he wants it. And that's the battle of the mind. Now, I'm going to talk about 7 hours of teaching, 6 to 7. It might even go more because I got so much to share to the church out there in Haines and those who come. October 14th. Embracing the presence of God in us. This doesn't even come up. What I'm sharing here, none of this comes up. It's much more and much deeper. But it's very simple if you believe. And there's nothing magical about it. It's by faith. And my son will testify. He knows. Jason, do I believe? I believe. Stand with me if you believe. Believe. Don't stand if you don't believe. Stay down if you don't believe. I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but you're standing before the King of Kings, and we're going to pray a prayer. Father God, we rebuke the lies that we have believed in the mighty name of Jesus. We destroy those lies in Jesus' name. May they find no future home in us. We declare today your word is alive, both Rhema and Logos, written and spoken. And we want to learn to hear your voice. So help us to hear your voice. Teach us to hear your voice. Your word says, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, open our ears to hear you speaking to us. So we can discern who is asking us to do what. Empower us by your Spirit to be your children. In Jesus' name. Well, and I thought I was going to go overtime. Okay, do I turn it over to somebody, Don? Thank you. You are most welcome.
There we go. Thank you, George. Worship team, you come up and lead us in closing song.
Thanks. Let's give glory to God, not to George, but to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is a good message and a good reminder. You know, I'm just going to ask you today, I've been just praying about this too, you know, how do we respond to a message like this? Maybe there is a lie that the enemy has been whispering in your ear. He's trying to steal some authority, or he's telling you something that isn't true. He's telling you that you're still part of that old life. You're still addicted. You're still guilty. You're still you still got to pay for your own sins. If you know that's true today, I'm just going to invite you to come up when we sing this song. We're going to sing an old hymn that this whole church is based on. You are the potter, and I am the clay.
Yeah.
So if today, because of God's word, if God's speaking to you and it's time for you to get that enemy off of your shoulder, I'm going to ask you to come forward for prayer. And there's a bunch of guys over here. Some of you guys will come up and stand up here and pray. And if there's leaders who are here, maybe Darcy and Kirsten, you can come and pray. Can we do that today? And then I just want to remind you of one other thing. And that's next week, we're going to have a baptism. I know someone said to me, well, you guys are crazy. This is a crazy church. What are you doing going in the river in like the 18th of September? But you're going to remember it, and we're going to see the power of God moving, and there's a number of people already who have indicated they want to be baptized. So I welcome you to do that. If you're not a Christian, why not? Like after what you heard today, it's just time to surrender and give your life to Jesus. And then the Bible says that what happens is we need to get baptized and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and start living a life of victory.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? All right. So next Sunday is going to be a shorter message and a shorter service. And then there's going to be a, we're going to have a potluck after church. We're going to eat some food together, but we're going to the river next Sunday. And all I can, you know, it's not up to me to decide who comes and who doesn't come. That's what God does in your life. He'll whisper that. He'll tell you that in your ear or in your heart. All I can tell you is that you're invited. You are welcome to come and be a part of that.